there, everyone, and welcome to the 23rd edition of the Roots Aviation Podcast. I'm Wesley Charnock, and I'm the Managing Editor for Roots.
And I'm David Casey, I'm the Online Editor for Roots.
In this episode, we have an exclusive interview with Ryan Oy, Vice President Sales at Philippine Airlines, recorded live at Roots Asia 2019 in Cebu, and interviewed by Nigel Mays, Senior Vice President from aviation consultancy ASM.
In this podcast, you'll hear Ryan lay out Philippine Airlines' network strategy and how Seattle, Chicago, Paris and Rome are all on the airline's radar.
Really hope you enjoy this podcast, and don't forget, if you do, there are plenty more on the Roots Aviation Podcast channel on iTunes and Google Podcasts, so please like and subscribe.
Over to Nigel and Ryan.
So, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Nigel Mays, and I'm the Senior Vice President for Consulting at ASM, which is obviously part of the Roots Group, and also which is now owned by Informa. And I'm delighted to be joined up on stage by Ryan Oy, who is the Vice President of Sales for Philippine Airlines. And we're hoping that we're going to get a good insight into Philippine Airlines, their ambitions and plans, and hopefully we'll get to know a little bit about you, Ryan, as well. So thank you very much for joining us. So let's start with a little bit about yourself then, Ryan. So how long have you worked in the aviation industry, and is that the only industry that you've worked in?
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Nigel. Just to give a brief background about myself, I've been working in the hospitality industry for the past 19 years. I started my career in the year 2000 when I newly graduated. By the way, apologies for my voice. I have a flu last night. I started my career in the year 2000, having worked in the airport operations for 3 years. After that, I moved to another airline for another 10 years to be under commercial. And in between that stint, I had a chance to work with the Hilton Hotel, which is a hospitality industry. And prior to joining Philippine Airlines, I also worked with the convention center, which is the biggest convention center in the Philippines, SMS Convention Center. And finally, I joined Philippine Airlines in 2015. But before joining PAL in 2015, back when I newly graduated, I applied in Philippine Airlines in the year 2000. So literally, it took me 15 years before joining Philippine Airlines. That's how difficult it is to get into this company. And I'm very honored and very proud as well, and humbled to be able to work with our national carrier, and that's Philippine Airlines.
So that's a very long interview process then, 15 years, isn't it?
15 years, Nigel, 15 years.
So in terms of, is there anything that you think the airline industry can learn from the hospitality industry, given that you spent some time in that industry?
To be very specific and to be very simple, I think the airline industry can learn on how to simplify things, because hotel is pretty simple. If you talk about airlines, you talk about fares, the fare restrictions is in hundreds of thousands. The fare rules are in hundreds of thousands, very complicated. And for a hotel, it's very simple. Second is, in the past years, airlines are talking about personalization, curation. Based on my experience in the hotel industry in the past decade, they already do have those kind of service. In fact, before you even check in the hotel, you can choose the pillow that you like. You can choose for a polyester pillow or a goose down pillow. You can even pre-book your spa and your activities. And I think airline is catching up on that area. However, on the flip side, the hotel industry is catching up on the airline industry when it comes to revenue management and revenue optimization. So I would think these two industry, they're both in the hospitality, can always learn on the best practices and the simple things of both industry.
So what made you want to join PAL? It's taken you 15 years. So how do you see the opportunity? What's the passion behind joining the airline PAL?
I need to be very careful with my answers because my colleagues are here. Kidding aside, you know, as a Filipino, I'm a Filipino-Chinese born in the Philippines. It gives you that sense of pride and honor to work for the national carrier. As our chairman would always say it, Philippines is Philippine Airlines, and Philippine Airlines is the Philippines. So if we will be able to make our national carrier a very successful airline, that would be the sense of pride for all the Filipinos worldwide. I think it would be a very good achievement, not personally only, but for the entire team of Philippine Airlines. So it's really a great honor that I was given the opportunity to join this fantastic company. And again, it took me 15 years, Nigel, so that's how precious it is.
Now, your role is VP sales, so it would be interesting just to understand a little bit about how PAL distributes its inventory. What are the main channels? Does that differ between the Philippines and other countries? So just explain a little bit about the distribution process within PAL.
Thanks, Nigel. Well, for PAL, basically, we do have a very diverse and a very extensive distribution. We deal with everyone who wants to sell the tickets. So we deal with the online travel agency. We also do have a traditional agency, our direct channel. And something very unique to the Philippine market that is not really known to everyone is the credit card penetration in this country is not that high. Therefore, we do have a very extensive ticket office network. Other airlines are veering away from ticket offices, but for us, we still do maintain 45 ticket offices nationwide. And in the rural areas, we do have travel agents that can issue tickets even if they're not IATA, which is very important for the domestic market. And even if you book through our website, in our contact center, you can pay by cash. We are partnered with 18,000 payment centers nationwide, which would enable all our customers in the Philippines and even outside the Philippines, such as in Thailand and Australia, to book in the website but pay by cash through one of our payment center partners. We need to have this kind of diversity because each channel, what we notice is each channel do have the tendency to give you a different yields. Travel agency, yes, they're traditional, but they tend to give you the highest yield of all the channels. And it's good to have this kind of portfolio, not to focus on one channel only.
And what about online? Is that something that you've got a targets to increase, or is there a sort of an acceptance that there'll always be a huge ticket office network and payments through cash and credit card?
Well, I think you have to be very adaptive to the market and the environment. Sorry.
Take your time, there's some water.
Well, we're seeing an uptick on the online sales. And it's really not something that we are encouraging or discouraging a channel. Basically, whatever the preference of our customer, we would be there.
Okay, that makes sense, and that's good. Whilst you have a glass of water, let me set what's the next question will be. So, before we were talking over the phone this week, and we'll talk a little bit about the types of markets that you wanted to move into. So different market segments, different geographies. Do you want to just explain a little bit about what the strategy is in terms of going into those different market segments.
Well, currently for Philippine Airlines, we do cater to all market segments. When you talk about market segments, you would have the labor market, leisure market, corporate market, or the business market. On the other side, you also have demographics. The focus now is to really tap the growing travel demand of millennials. And the good thing with Philippine Airlines in terms of millennials, our product services is well suited for that kind of market. Like if you take our flight to London, on board our A350, we do have the MyPal player, which enables the passengers, especially millennials who cannot let go of their devices. So you can watch your video, Wi-Fi, on your smart devices. I've even tried watching two movies simultaneously, one in my screen and one in my smartphone, because I do have the MyPal player facility on board our flights. So it's perfect for millennial, but again, we are not really focusing on one market segments. As much as possible, we would like to cater to all market segments. We cannot be choosy because, you know, airline is cyclical in nature. You have different seasonality. So it would be good to have those levers that you can use whenever the situation calls for it.
Okay. That's a skill that my children have got, actually, being able to watch television and play Minecraft at the same time. Can we just touch a little bit? You mentioned the different market segments, labour, corporate, and VFR, which is quite interesting for the airports out there trying to build up their presentations. The labour market, is there a way that market gets distributed that's different to the other segments? Are there travel agents that specialise in that market? Is that something that you work very hard on in terms of trying to meet the demands of those tour operators that specialize in that area?
Yes. Well, for labor market, as you may have known already, Philippines is one of the countries that do have a big number of laborers. Based on the data that I had in the year 2017, there's around 2 million laborers outside the Philippines, Filipinos deployed outside the Philippines. And basically, there's two types of laborers. One you call the land base, which are the workers that work on land. And the second type would be the sea based. These are the seafarers that would join the tankers, cruise liners. And yes, there's specific type of agents that do cater to this kind of market segment. And we do work closely with them. And they are very unique in terms of handling. And for this reason, we saw that some low-cost carrier do had a hard time handling the labor market because it's very, very peculiar and a very different kind of handling.
Very unique. And is there anything that airports can do to help handle that market? So, is there anything they can do in terms of providing areas of terminals to meet?
Very good question, Nigel. How airports can help is to give a very big waiting area. Waiting area and a very big departure area. Because maybe you've noticed already, especially for those who are always in the Philippines, whenever someone comes home, the entire bus is waiting for them. When someone leaves, the entire bus also sends them away, which really shows how Filipinos are very family-oriented, very close-knit family. It's something that's very, very unique and special to Filipinos. So that's something that I think would really help. Having the Wi-Fi is something that our government already addressed. In most of our airports now, they do offer free Wi-Fi, which is good. And that helps a lot, because for a laborer to go to another country to work for a year or two, it's really, they feel homesick.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a big welcome and a big send-off for them.
And do you have a feel for where that those flows are growing and where those flows may be declining or more static?
Mm.
Just to sort of end this little conversation on labor flows.
Yeah, well, labor, there's still a big market to Middle East. There's a huge number of population there. And with the projects being built in the Middle East, we do expect that the growth will continue. Although some markets do tend to go for local hiring, which can be complemented by another country. In Asia, there's also growth. We're seeing a demand for Japan for laborers. Used to be they closed it down, but now they're opening again. So it's another opportunity for us.
Okay, let's move on to sort of network strategy and fleet and get a bit of an understanding how that's changing. So obviously the Philippines is a diverse network of islands, and which means that you've got quite a diverse fleet in terms of narrow bodies, wide bodies. Do you want to just explain a little bit about how what's in the fleet at the moment and how that's changing?
I'm not sure if everyone is aware. Philippine Airlines is turning 78 years in five days' time. It's our 78th birthday. And currently, we do have a fleet of 97 aircraft and one of the youngest in Asia. The average age of our fleet is around 4.7 years. Wide body, we do have a total of 31. 10 of those would be 777-300ER, 15 A330s, and we do have 6 A350. The fifth one just arrived 3 weeks ago, and the 6th A350 will arrive by second half of this year. And other than that, wide body, we do have 12 turboprops under our subsidiary, Philippine Airlines Express. And the rest will be a combination of 321 and 320. So for Philippines being an archipelago, again, we do appreciate the efforts of the government in terms of improving the infrastructure. However, there are still a lot of airports that can only be served by turboprops, such as the famous Busuanga, the famous Siargao, Camiguin. So for those market, if we see the market matures, the only thing that we can do is to increase the frequency. However, for some routes that can handle jets, we do upgauge aircraft to jets. And for domestic, we also use the wide body for very strong routes like Cebu and Davao.
Mm.
So it's a combination of, I think, dictated by demand and the capability of the infrastructure to support the type of aircraft that we have as well.
Okay. And you talked a little bit about PAL Express. Now, in terms of an airline, and it's changed names over the years, what's the strategy behind PAL Express? What function does it provide in Philippine Airlines?
Well, PAL Express is a full-service airline. It do have a very, very fantastic cabin crew, world-class pilots, and new aircraft as well. In fact, they now have a total of 10 brand new Q400 new generation. Well, basically, PAL Express is a full-service airline with a low-cost structure. We utilize them for our secondary hubs. Majority of our operations in Clark, which is our second biggest hub right now, is run by PAL Express. They also do have aircraft position here in Cebu, and also in Davao and Calibo, Boracay. So they complement Philippine Airlines for both domestic and regional routes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Clark and Cebu and the roles of those airports. Manila, there's been lots of talk about the infrastructure constraints at Manila, and is that part of the reason why these secondary hubs are being developed, or are there markets in their own rights as well?
The Philippine government had been pushing for development of other hubs in the country. While we do appreciate the efforts of the current administration in terms of improving the facility of Manila, we do recognize the fact that slots are somewhat limited. So for that reason, we developed the secondary hub, which is Clark. Right now, we do operate to 19 destinations, domestic destinations from Clark, which is already our second biggest hub in the Philippines. Other than 19 domestic destinations, we also have international flights, which is Clark to Korea, Incheon. Manila Airport right now is undergoing some improvements. They're doing re-cementing of the taxiways. But the good news is, come March 31, the authorities were able to shorten the closure, and they will start opening the airport 3:30 in the morning instead of 6 in the morning, which would enable us to mount new flights, new frequency from Manila, both for domestic and international destinations. And so far, the government has been very supportive to Philippine Airlines, which we are very, very grateful.
And how does the flows of traffic work in terms of Manila and Clark? Are you still putting connecting traffic? Are you beginning to put some of those flows through Clark as well as through Manila?
Well, I think, for one, if your airport is congested, first thing you should do is to maximize the slots. For airports like Manila, I think turboprops shouldn't be allowed to operate anymore, just like Hong Kong Airport. Hong Kong, they don't allow any turboprops to fly there. And for that reason, we have positioned majority of our turboprops in Clark. And for destinations that are being served both by Manila and Clark Airport, the schedules are complementing each other. So majority of the routes served in Clark are those secondary destinations that cannot really handle or accommodate a jet aircraft.
Okay. And do you think, given the constraints at Manila, do you think that does put you at a competitive disadvantage against some of your competing hubs like Singapore and Bangkok and KL? Or do you think that is not such a huge issue for you?
Well, the beauty is, right now we are not dependent on Manila only, although yes, it's our biggest hub for international flights. We also do have Cebu. In fact, from Cebu, we do fly to 5 international destinations. We used to fly nonstop Cebu-Los Angeles, but somewhat we stopped it temporarily.
Yeah.
And other than the Cebu hub, we have Clark, we have Davao, and we have Calibo hub. So we're able to somewhat utilize different hubs in the country. Do we want to add more from Manila? Definitely yes. In fact, we are adding new destinations come summer schedule. We will be mounting new flights to Hanoi, Phnom Penh, as well as New Delhi. And other than adding those new destinations, we are also increasing our frequencies to some of our key markets, like Bangkok. We are increasing our flights from 21 to 25 times a week. Brisbane, we're increasing it to 5 times. Sydney, from daily to 7. And even for Los Angeles and San Francisco, we're also increasing our frequency. And New York, we are flying nonstop. By March 31, we are going daily already.
Wow.
From 5. And same with Toronto, from 5, we're going daily. So there's a huge growth in frequency, not only for Asia, but also for North America. And all of these are served on a nonstop basis.
So talking about the Americas then, and Europe, there's been lots in the press about new routes. I think Seattle was mentioned in the US, or Chicago, Paris or Rome. Given that we're at a routes conference, is there, where would you like to be serving next in terms of PAL? Is it America? Is it Europe? Is it Asia?
We are seriously looking at Seattle for North America. Of course, Chicago is also an option. For Europe, we are seriously looking at Paris or Rome. Asia is our key market. So we are looking at adding routes from North Asia to Philippines, North Asia, Southeast Asia, basically increase in frequency and a new route pair we are looking at.
Okay. Any specific countries in Asia that you think is a good opportunity for PAL at the moment? I mean, you're just going into India. Is India going to be another growth point, given that their domestic market's growing at 25%?
Definitely. India, we're looking at both Delhi and Bombay. Specifically for Asia, we've been wanting to add frequency from Singapore. So if there's anyone here from Changi Airport, we've been wanting to increase our frequency to 5 times daily, because right now we're only flying 4 times. China, we are looking at Hangzhou and Chengdu as well. We also like to increase frequency for Beijing and Shanghai, and Sham and Xinjiang, of course. Southeast Asia, it would... Well, for Southeast Asia, I failed to mention earlier, we are also increasing our frequency for Jakarta, which is just right smack on the forecast of IATA earlier. Because for Jakarta, from March 31, we are also increasing from daily, and we're making it 10 times a week. Malaysia, from daily, we are also increasing it to 11 times a week. So you're seeing a huge growth of capacity for this year. 2019. The total capacity growth in terms of physical seat is around 30%.
30%?
Physical seat, yeah. But in terms of ASKs, around 17%.
And your passenger numbers will be for expecting for 2019?
Yes, we're expecting to carry a total of 19 million passengers. Which, by the way, I failed to share earlier. For the year 2018, we carried a total of 17 million. That's a growth of around 12%. And in the process, we did grow our market share in the domestic market. We grew our market share by 2 percentage points. So our domestic market share is now 29%. And for international market, we are also able to grow our market share by 1 percentage points. So 2018 was a very good year for PAL. We grew our passenger by 12%, and our ASK growth was almost flat.
Okay. So you're growing passengers, growing revenues, and your cost base is staying flat. And it's probably quite surprising to a lot of people, given that, you know, we see the growth of Cebu and the other low-cost carriers in this region, but you're growing your market share, which I think is impressive. So,
yeah, thanks to the entire team, really. We did optimize our load factor.
So we've got 5 minutes left, and then what I'll do is I'll open it to the floor, and if there are any questions, start to pull them together. There'll be a microphone that'll be going round. So my last two areas that I want to touch on is your challenges that you're seeing in PAO at the moment and perhaps your opportunities. So let's start with challenges. We've put the airport to one side. We've talked a little bit about that. What are your other challenges?
Well, as an airline, I would like to say competition, but competition had been there for the longest time. We wake up in the morning and we sleep every night with the competition all over us. So that's a given. To be pragmatic about it, I think the biggest challenges for airlines would be things that are beyond their control. One would be the cost of fuel. Second would be the natural disasters. Just to share with everyone what happened to Osaka last year, which is very, very sad. It was sudden that the airport was closed for more than 2 weeks or even almost a month. And those are the things that is very, I think, unpredictable and very difficult for airline to manage, because if an airport is closed because of a natural disaster, you cannot easily find a route to replace it with. And those assets needs to be utilized. Mm. And you cannot even do your maintenance check if it's not their time to be checked, right? So those are the things that the biggest challenges for airlines, in my personal opinion, the things that are beyond your control. And of course, you would have the currency fluctuation as well, the currency impact.
And in terms of then opportunities, where do you see the opportunities? Is again in the news, ANA are going through the process of taking a 9.5% share in PAO Holdings. Is that a big opportunity for you? Does it open up new avenues for you?
Thanks for mentioning about ANA. Yes, they did buy a 9.5% stake in Philippine Airlines back in February 8th of this year. So we do expect that with ANA now on board Philippine Airlines, they will fully support our route and network expansion. Likewise, they will bring in the best practices of being a five-star airline, because as you know, the aspiration of Philippine Airlines is to become a five-star airline in 2020. Opportunities is very big. You know, Philippines is one of the markets with a very strong domestic market. Unlike those other countries that are basically relying on connecting traffic, Philippines is strongly positioned to cater to the point-to-point market. The population is growing. We are the second populous country in Southeast Asia, and the top seven country in Asia with the most number of population. The demographics are good. We do have a very healthy middle age population that will drive the growth in traffic.
The population's 108?
Roughly around 108.
108 million.
Million. And we do have a very strong workforce, and the middle market is growing, which is good. And Philippines is an archipelago, so for someone to travel from Luzon to Visayas or Mindanao, they really have to take the flight. Yes, they can take the bus, but it will take them a day. So the opportunity is there, and if you look at the report of CAPA for the past 10 years, the total international traffic of the Philippines more than doubled. And the trajectory continues to be very, very positive.
And you mentioned, we talked a little bit about ANA. There's also lots of discussion about alliances and where you may join. Now, should we say... One could make the leap of faith that ANA is in the Star Alliance. However, Star Alliance has got two very large hubs in Southeast Asia already. What's your view on alliance membership? Which alliance would you like to see PAO join, or what are the benefits and negatives of each of the alliances?
Very difficult question. Well, I work with an airline who used to be the founding member of Oneworld. And based on my experience, alliance works very well if you are not overlapping with everyone. And Star Alliance is big, but if you see on the members of their alliance, there's a lot of overlaps there. I'm not saying that I'm against Star Alliance. Oneworld tends to work with the strong carrier for each geographic location. SkyTeam seems to have the least overlap because the members are very limited. So right now, Philippine Airlines is obviously keen and would like to enter into an alliance, but we are not in a rush. We're taking our time because we know that alliances, you have to be invited and you need to have a sponsor before you become part of the alliance. So as it is right now, our strategy is to maximize our network, both international and domestic. And again, we are reinstating our previous strategy of capturing connecting traffic.
Okay. You've provided enough thought there to at least enable us all to perhaps put our bets on certain alliances more than others. So, yes, that's great. Okay, we've got 9 minutes left. Are there any questions from the audience for Ryan? Is there anything that anybody would like to ask?
Nigel, can I get your water?
Yes, take it. It sounds like you need it more than me. I've been doing too many of these events. I think I can talk for long enough without water. Sorry. Do we have any questions from the floor?
My name is Jamie Bikrami from the Department of Tourism, sir. So currently the DOT is pushing towards sustainable tourism. Do you have any sustainable programs or are you implementing any sustainability policies for your aircrafts?
Very good question. Currently the management is studying the possibility of not serving any or using any plastic wares on board our flight, just to help the environment, because you know, in each flight you have to use a lot of plastic cups, right? So we're looking at those initiatives. In terms of investment, we purchase new generation aircraft because those are fuel efficient. So again, to make sure that we will have a sustainable business, the lesser carbon footprint that we have as an airline is better. Are we in a stage already of using a biofuel? We are not yet there. We know other airlines are pursuing that kind of initiatives wherein they use biofuel to lessen their carbon footprint. So to answer that question, yes, Philippine Airlines is very supportive of DOT's drive for more sustainable tourism in the Philippines.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any further questions? Question at the back. Philip?
Quick question. You mentioned about more services to North America, and congratulations on the new routes with the new aircraft.
Thank you.
Just wondering what your thoughts are for services to Canada and indeed Fifth Freedom services linking with US destinations, please.
Thank you. Well, right now, Philippine Airlines do fly 64 times weekly between the Philippines and USA and Canada. For Canada, we have been serving Vancouver for the longest time. We do operate a daily service using a 777-300ER. And come March 31, our Toronto will become daily using an A350 with a tri-class service. With regards to the Fifth Freedom, we do have those entitlements. Used to be PAL was operating Vancouver, Las Vegas. It was replaced with a Vancouver, New York. And when we saw the market of New York becoming more mature, then it can accommodate a nonstop service. will we fly Vancouver, Chicago, or Vancouver, Las Vegas again, or Vancouver, maybe any other points in the USA to utilize our free freedom? The challenge there is the entitlement given to us by the Canadian government is only up to 5 times a week. What we have hoped for is to be granted a daily free freedom entitlement so that we could have a daily product so and when, if we decide to reinstate a free freedom flight with the likes of, for example, Vancouver, Chicago. But yes, those free freedom rights are constantly being reviewed for new routes that we might mount in the Canada and the USA. Although what we have noticed is that passengers do really prefer to fly nonstop. And for that reason, most, if not all, of our flights are really nonstop right now.
Yeah. I suppose that you've got a history of operating fifth freedom flights and doing those tag services. And I assume that's something that's worked for you in the past. Do you think that's something that you'll continue to use to open up new markets where they're maybe a little bit on the small side?
Well, right now we do have free freedom. We are utilizing our free freedom rights for Taiwan to Japan. We used to fly Manila, Taipei, Osaka daily. And again, when we saw the huge demand for Osaka, we made it nonstop and made it 11 times a week, all nonstop. The free freedom is still there. Taipei, Osaka is still there. And used to, we also do free freedom for Middle East. Again, we shifted to all nonstop, which bodes well for our customers.
Okay. Thank you, Philip. Is there another question down here?
Hey, sir. Lawrence Mercigan from Business Mirror. You ordered 6 A350s from Airbus.
Correct.
And you have an option of another 6. Are you looking at exercising that option, given that you're looking at launching Seattle in North America, Chicago, Paris, Rome, and other key markets? Thanks.
Currently, our A350 are fully utilized with the entry of the 6th one by second half of this year. It will just be right for our operations right now. We are studying of buying new aircraft for our future, because part of our 777, there are fleets that are about to expire as well. So definitely, we constantly look at the new aircraft to be used. And those options, as of the moment, we don't have the decision yet if we will call the options.
And the 6th one, is where is it being allocated to? Is this serving any of those new routes, or is it frequency?
Those are frequency, additional frequency. And by the way, our 5th and 6th Airbus 350 do have the Love Bus symbol. A very big kiss mark in the livery. The reason for that is it's celebrating the 40 years of partnership between Philippine Airlines and Airbus. And 40 years ago, our A300 do have that kiss mark as well in the livery. So it's a good memorabilia.
Very good.
I hope you can take one of our flights on board that aircraft.
One to look out for on my when I'm spotting. Right. Are there any further questions? If not, what I'd like to do is end perhaps with just what you see the future for Philippine Airlines. What's your ambition? How big will PAL be in another 10 years' time?
Well, let me answer first maybe on the first 5 years. In the next 5 years, we will see our fleet grow up to maximum of 99 aircraft. And that will happen in the year 2021 with the delivery of more A321neos. So in the next 10 years, if you would ask me what's my fearless forecast For one, Philippine Airlines will definitely be a five-star airline. From a regional, maybe we'll become bigger. And it will be an airline that all Filipinos worldwide will be very, very proud of.
That's very good. And you'll be 88 years old.
Correct.
At that point as well.
88 years old.
88 years old.
Yeah.
And well, let's hope you'll be able to make it to 100. And perhaps we'll come back and do the other interview at that point.
Definitely.
You might need a little bit more water by that point. So that has been truly fantastic to get that sort of insight into Philippine Airlines. It's great. We've talked a little bit about some of your ambitions for the sales process in terms of distribution, the simplification and personalization of the distribution of PAL. You've talked very eloquently about the network, and you've certainly given some hints towards where you see the opportunities for Philippine Airlines. And I think you've been very honest about some of the challenges as well. So it's been really, really interesting. It's been insightful. And you've battled your way through a cold as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed that insight into Philippine Airlines strategy. And don't forget, there's lots more podcasts on iTunes and Google Podcasts. The next podcast will be out in 2 weeks' time, so don't forget to subscribe.
Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.